Well, you have your Bible open back again to Luke 16. We'll not stay there. I just wanted to remind you that this was the final destination of an individual that rejected the Lord. As we talked about last week, as we looked into the Word of God, there are kind of three snapshots of life as far as the passage of life. There was a snapshot in life of a young ruler who came to Christ, and we'll look in depth this morning at this young man who came to Jesus. And then later in life, as he walked away in that meeting, rejecting what he had heard and turning from what he felt in his heart and decided to follow his own way, we found him a little later in life, just prior to death. And he had become so selfish and so inwardly and so turned in about himself, forgetting God and forgetting those around him and forgetting his purpose in life of why God gave us life. He was hardened and he became selfish and he became consumed with covetousness. You may remember we spoke of that. And he died that night as he said in his heart to his soul. He said, you know, I'm going to build me big barns and I'm going to fill them up for me. And Jesus said that God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. It's very real. If there's nothing else you remember from being in the service this morning, I pray that every one of us would remember Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, I think the word actually says men. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I pray that this would be on the hearts and minds of every individual in here. You say, well, now, preacher, I'm settled. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, there's a lot of people that are not. And we must understand that death is inevitable. We don't like to talk about death. The fact of the matter is we can't prevent death. Now, I'm not saying because of that we're to live recklessly and foolishly. But I am saying this. Our number will be called one day. And you say, well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you must prepare for it. We can't prevent it, but thank God we can prepare for it. I'm glad that God has made a way that we can prepare for the inevitable meeting that we will have with death. And then the Bible says, and after this, which means that you will live, you will die, and then you will live again. The question is, where will you live after death? There's a life before death, but I want to assure you on the authority of God's word, there's also a life after death. And while we spend our time, much people, especially in this country of wealth and prosperity, while we spend our time preparing for the life before death, God help us to spend our time in giving thought to the life after death. So few think about it any longer. Our minds are so turned inwardly and presently and worldly and earthly that we've forgotten there is a destination beyond death. And the Bible has warned us over and over again, you must prepare. Now here's a man who didn't. I believe he had opportunity. The reason I ask that this passage be read again is because I wanted you to read it to just put into your mind that hell is still real. The fires of hell have not gone out. People are still going there. We have the answer. The Word of God, Jesus is the answer to sin. Sin is the cause of death, and those who die in their sin will die in their sin and go to this place called hell. God doesn't want it. Do you? It's real. I don't believe it, preacher. It's still real. Somehow in America, we've gotten to the place of where we believe that what we think and what we believe somehow affects the truth. The truth is only affected by what we believe when we receive it and act on it. Then the truth can be affected by what we believe We can refuse what God's word says. We can say, I don't believe it. But that doesn't change the fact that it's so. I told you last week that in America, some 55% of the people in America say, I still believe in hell. While throughout the world, there's 40% of the people that say, I still believe in hell. But in hell, 100% of the people believe in hell. There are those that said, I won't believe in hell. I don't believe in it until they went there. Don't you be that person now. God doesn't want you to be. He loves you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, well, then why would God send me to hell? God doesn't send you to hell. Man rejecting the truth of God's word, man rejecting Jesus Christ, God's love gift, is what sends him to hell. So I thought smoking sent people to hell. And nobody's ever went to hell for smoking. Now don't go smoke a cigarette after the service. Say amen with me. You see, that thinking is the fallacy of the mind of man. And that's where I want to turn our attention to the text that I'm going to prepare for you this morning and preach a message to you. Our thinking is that people go to heaven or hell based on what we do or do not do. Well, preacher, I thought people went to hell for being a murderer. Well, they ought to go to jail. They ought to face the death penalty. Well, I thought people went to hell for committing adultery. Well, listen, you ought not do that. And God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there are consequences in this life and in the one to come for those who do. I thought people went to hell for doing drugs, and we could just listen, the list could go on and on and on. But I want to assure you, as we shall see in the Word of God this morning, that no one has ever gone to hell by an act that they've committed. People go to hell by rejecting salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason that people go to hell. They have rejected God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I want to go to heaven. There's only one way to get there. Just like you don't go to hell. Now listen carefully. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You don't go to hell by the wrong you do. You don't go to heaven by the right you do. You don't have enough good deeds that you'll ever do in life to get you to heaven. Brethren, could I submit to you this morning that if I could do good and get to heaven, Jesus coming and dying on the cross for my sin would be a fallacy. Why would Jesus come and die the cruel death at Calvary if we could get to heaven on our own doing? Somebody answer that question for me. I tell you, it can't be done. It can't be done. We cannot get to heaven in our own merit. We cannot get to heaven in our own deeds. We cannot get to heaven by keeping the law or doing good things. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way. The only way. So, well, I'm a member of a church. Being a member of a church has never got you to heaven. Well, I've been baptized. Listen, you can be baptized forward, backward, sideways, in cold water, hot water, in a church, in a pond, in a river. But baptism has never got anyone to heaven. You can get baptized in the river to all the frogs know your name, but that won't get you to heaven. Say amen with me. Now, you ought to be baptized if you're saved. It's the first act of obedience, but nobody's ever gone to heaven by being baptized. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin, amen. Not the water of the baptismal pool. I'm for baptism. We have baptismal pool. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, you need to come see me. You need to get baptized. Not so you can go to heaven, but so you can serve God with a clean, pure conscience. That's what the Word of God teaches. Amen. It's the first step of obedience in the Christian faith. There's a word I want you to look at before we turn a couple of pages over to Luke 18. Notice this word. It's missing from our messages today in our local churches. You in Luke 16? We're going to turn to Luke 18, but I want you to see a word here. When this man went to hell, he got all of a sudden got religious. See, when he was on earth, he didn't have time for God. A lot of folks like that. And I'm not being cruel, I'm not being mean, I'm not being facetious. Listen to me now. Not being sarcastic. I'm being real this morning. There's a lot of folks in and out of church, those that say they're saved, those that don't, that just don't have time for God anymore. We're such a busy people, we don't even have time for the things in life that really matter. We don't like to admit it, but many of us don't give God a thought until it's time to pick our Bible up off the end table and run down to the church and check a box. But here, this man that went to hell, he got to pray and he got to being concerned about his family. I wonder why he wasn't before, but we'll get into that another time. But he said this, he said, I want you to send somebody to my father's house. And he said, if you will, in verse number 30, this is the word I want you to look at. In verse number 30, he said unto, nay, Father Abraham. You see that? He said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will, here's our word, repent. 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 I haven't heard that word in a long time. That's why our churches are cold and callous and carnal. The doctrine of repentance is missing from the preaching of the preachers from the pulpit. Repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the early church preached. Now, if you'll turn to Luke 18, we have another snapshot. This snapshot is of a young man. In this particular passage of Scripture, we'll look at the entire chapter as a whole, just generally speaking, but I'm interested in getting into verse number 18. Would you look there? A certain ruler asked him, meaning Jesus. So here was this. And when we read the accounts of Mark and Matthew and we come here to Luke, we find here was a rich young ruler, a man of religious means and material means. He was a ruler. He probably was a leader in the synagogue. We find to where he was, he had a very good knowledge of the law, but his knowledge of the law was superficial. And I'll tell you why I know that in just a moment. I know it because God's word teaches it. But here was a rich young ruler, and he came to Jesus in verse 18, and he said, good master, and here's that question that I posed to you at the beginning of the service. He said, what must I do, or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'm going to give you the rest of this story down to verse number 23, and then I've got some thoughts that God's laid on my heart I'd really like for you to consider. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now I don't want to get into this until I make this very clear. No one goes to heaven for being rich. No one goes to heaven for being poor. No one goes to hell for being rich. No one goes to hell for being poor. What is happening here is Jesus is touching a part in a man's life that he said, I'm not going to repent of this. I have something that I'm holding on to. I have my fist clenched, and I'm not going to change it for nobody, not even you. I'm not going to let it go and let God guide my life. I'm not going to put my trust into anything other than what I have put my trust in. Now, for this man, it was possessions. For others, it may be, I don't know, it may be family. It may be work. I don't know. It may be something secretive. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I go back in my own life, and perhaps you can, and before I got saved, when I began to really consider this matter of trusting Christ, there would always be something to arise in my heart, and I thought, well, if I do that, then this. Right? Now, if I do that, then this. You say, what was it, preacher? Well, what's yours? Remember? Well, if I do that, then this. If I give all to Christ, if I give all to Him, then what's going to happen with this? See, this man had that position in life. Let's look at it just briefly. I want you to think with what this young man. Notice Matthew chapter, and I hope you'll write this down, Matthew 19, Matthew tells us the same account. He said he was a young man. So I want you to consider this. He came at the right time. Young. Young. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now that doesn't mean you can't get saved when you're old. But it does mean it's a good thing to come to Christ while you're young and tender. Amen. And sensitive. So he came at the right time. He came to the right person. Yeah, he didn't go. Listen, he didn't go to the chief priest. Now listen to me. He didn't go to Caiaphas, the chief priest. He didn't go to one of the Pharisees. He didn't go to Nicodemus. Listen to me now. He didn't go to some great teacher in the synagogue. He come to the right person, Jesus Christ. So he came at the right time in his youth. He came to the right person. He asked the right question. How can I get to heaven? That's a great question. How can I have eternal life? Now he had a misconception because he thought he could inherit it. He thought that he could have something to do with it. But the question nonetheless was on target. How can I know that I'm going to heaven? So he came to the right person. He came at the right time. He asked the right question. I'm going to tell you, he got the right answer. He did. Jesus laid it out, as we shall see. He was bringing this young man to a place where this young man would see his need. See, this young man was just interested in going to heaven. He wasn't interested in taking care of the sin problem. Now, please hear me. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven, preacher. I want to go to hell where all my friends are. You need to read Luke 16 again. You've got a misconception of hell. And that's a terrible thing to have. So please don't miss this. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to deal with the problem. The problem of this young man is he was a sinner. You say, a sinner? Yeah, just like you. Are you ready for this one? Just like me. Just like all of us. Look again at what Jesus tried to do to help this young man. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Please notice this next phrase. None is good. Did you get that? None is good except God. So if you want to admit to me that I'm God, then you call me good. But in case you understand who the person of Christ is, then you've got some learning you need before you can be saved. And then he said this. He said, none is good. Why do you think Jesus formed that answer into that in that particular way? Because this young man thought he was. He thought he was good enough. He said, I want to get to heaven. Don't want to deal with my sin now. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. Jesus said, none is good. You say, how do you know he said he was good? Well, look at what the scripture says here in verse number 20. When Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, I think somebody's being dishonest. Listen to me now. None is good. None is good. None is good. None is good. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brethren, we're sinners all. All of us have sinned against the holy God. Our sin is condemning us to death, and our sin and death is condemning us to hell without Christ. None is good. Preacher, I'll get to heaven my own way. You'll never make it on your own. Preacher, I'm a pretty good man. No, you're not. You have a wrong view of yourself. You have a wrong view of sin. You have a wrong view of a thrice holy God. You'll never meet up to God's standard. Never, never, never. We can never meet up to God's standard. And yet we walk around thinking highly of ourselves. We think, I'm pretty good. I'm not as bad as this one, and I'm not as bad as that one. When the Bible says, if you or I have offended in one point of the law, we've offended all. Amen. The law comes as a unit. James chapter 2 says that the law is a unit. And when I break one of those units, listen, when I break one unit, I've broken the whole law. It's like a chain. You got a chain intact. You don't have to break but one of them for the chain to be broken. The whole chain. Amen. And this young man said, well, now, I'm a good guy. Jesus said, none's good. I sure hope there's no good guys. here this morning thinking, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good guy. There's none good. There's none good. There's none good. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64, all of our righteousness. Listen, we're all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness is as a filthy rags. The day that you see yourself as a sinner, broken, condemned, with the wrath of God on your life, you'll crawl up to the cross of Calvary and look into the face of God and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner.
Amen. Amen.
But until you get to that place, you'll go through life with your chest poked out and your head held high and saying, I'm good. I've kept this commandment and that commandment, and I haven't done what he's done or she's done or they've done. And we'll begin to base our merit upon what others have done when we need to look to the standard of God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. We're missing conviction. We're missing repentance. We got folks skipping down our church aisles like this young man saying, I want to go to heaven. You're not ready. Nor was this young man. He wasn't ready. See, God has to get you ready for heaven.
Amen.
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 It's a work of God. We've tried to get to heaven without God, and brethren, it'll never happen. You can get to hell without God. But hear me now, you'll never get to heaven without God. Never. And we're living in a day where it's this A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me. No conviction, no repentance, no godly sorrow, no conversion. And all that equals a life condemned into an eternal place called hell, and it's sad. And it breaks my heart. It ought to break every heart of every born-again believer that sits under the sound of my voice. Preacher, what can we do? Notice what Jesus did. I'm so glad that Jesus has all the answers. All the answers. Young man comes up. Kneels down to him and said, how do I inherit eternal life? He said, well, you think you're good. He said, I don't see that. Read between the lines. He said, you know the commandments. You're young. You know it all. You tell me how to get there. You doing this, 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 and this? Yes, sir. Done them all since my youth. You're not ready. You're not ready. See, that's what the law does. Now listen to me. There's a purpose for the law. The purpose of the law is not to save us. As a matter of fact, did you know, and I hope you'll write this verse of scripture down, Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law shall there be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Oh, I hope you'll look that verse up, read it, memorize it, get it in your heart, share it with folks. Brethren, hear me now. Hear me. The law has never saved anyone. The law was never given to save anyone. No person, there's only been one person to walk the face of this earth that's ever kept the whole law from beginning to end. And his name was Jesus, and he became the end of the law of righteousness for everyone that believeth. Amen. Jesus did.
Amen.
I say glory to the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he came and lived and died without sin.
Amen.
And thank God he died for my sin.
Amen.
Listen to me now. The only way that Jesus could have died for your sin and mine is to have never sinned. Sin brings death. I'm going to die because I sin. You're going to die because you sin. Jesus died not because he sinned. He died because of your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Jesus bore in his body our sin on the tree. Died and death couldn't hold him. Came up alive 3 days later. Victorious, brethren. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Say, preacher, you seem a little happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. Well, preacher, I'm a little concerned that all this might be just a fairy tale and we're not going to make it. Let me go ahead and just rid you of those concerns on the authority of this book right here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This book is pure, holy, clean, and without error. You can trust it. This is more than a Bible. This is the Word of Almighty God. You say, now, preacher, y'all don't get too excited. Well, we're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. I have a relationship with the God of heaven. Amen. The Spirit of God lives in me. There's a spring in my soul. And about right now, I'm here to tell you, it's springing up, amen. It's springing something. I feel like something's arcing between earth and heaven in my soul. Well, now calm down, preacher. Calm down. Your favorite team going to be on the football field today? Should I call you up and tell you when they score a touchdown? Now calm down. Calm down. They just took the lead. There's only 3 seconds to go in the game. Looks like victory is sure. But don't get excited. I have something to be excited about. You do too if you're saved. I'm not being sarcastic. You say, well, preacher, I'm not shouting amen. Maybe your heart is. Maybe God's squeezing your heart and a tear is flowing down your face because you remember where you were when Jesus came to you. You remember you were like this young man who thought, well, I don't know all about the Bible and church and salvation and Jesus and sin. I just hope that one day my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds and God will let me in heaven. See, that was the state of this poor old soul. Are you listening? That was the state of this poor old soul when Jesus found me. Amen. Set me free. Let me see something on the other side, that Jesus had died for my sin, that I didn't have to try to work my way to heaven. I don't have enough work in me to get there. You don't either. Well, we better get back to this young man. We don't want to leave him hanging. He came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, listen, you have a supernatural, or superficial, I should say. You have a superficial perspective about me. I'm not just a teacher come down here to teach you about heaven. I'm the Son of God that's come down here to get you to heaven. Amen. See, now here's where a lot of people go rogue. Now listen to me now. Please listen to me. Jesus is more than a teacher to tell us how to get to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Amen. He's the gift of God so that we could go there. Jesus did not just come down here to tell us how to get to heaven. He came down here to provide the road and the way for us to get there. And he's it. Amen. So see, this young man came and he just had it all wrong. Perhaps you've got it wrong. I don't know. Perhaps somebody watching by live stream this morning. I had it wrong. Can I tell you that you don't have to be outside of the church to have it wrong about this matter of salvation. Our churches are full of lost people. People that think they're going to go to heaven because their name's on the church row. If your name is not on heaven's row, you're not going to heaven. And the only way you can get your name written down there is by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Please don't miss that. Please don't miss it. Well, let's read on. Verse number 21, this young man said, all these have I done, or have I kept from my youth up. Now, I've already shown you from James chapter 2. Did you write it down? James chapter 2, verse number 10. If we've offended in one point of the law, we're guilty of offending them all the points of the law. The law comes as a unit. As a matter of fact, I just want to say something right here, okay? I wrote this down. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, guilty. Thou shalt not make any graven image and bow down before it, guilty. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain, guilty. Remember the Sabbath day, which now we remember the Lord's day. Keep it holy, guilty. Honor thy father and thy mother, guilty. Thou shalt not kill, guilty. You killed somebody? Well, I looked on my brother with anger. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, if you've done that, you're just as guilty as killing someone. Guilty. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Guilty. What? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if a man look on a woman with lust in his heart after her, he's guilty of adultery with her. Amen. Guilty. Thou shalt not steal. Guilty. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Guilty. You say, what's that mean? Lie. Guilty. Thou shalt not covet. Guilty. So I don't want to sit here and try to make you believe, well, the preacher's only broke one of the commandments, broke them all. Not proud of it. As a matter of fact, I can't stand myself. This old flesh is wretched. I want to say with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen. Can I tell you, Jesus will set you free. Jesus will wash you up. Jesus will create in you a clean heart. Jesus can do this. We're guilty. Well, I know how we walk around like we're all this and that. I get that. I'm not saying saved people, listen, I'm not living under the Ten Commandments. Oh, no, I have a whole new law. Amen. My law, listen, what my guide is not law anymore, it's love. You listening? What do you want me to do, Lord? Just love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. See, that's our law, brethren. Are we fulfilling it? For on these hang all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. You love God? Oh, I do, preacher, in church. No, that's not what he's talking about. Are you going to love him tomorrow? Tuesday? God help me and God help you. We have much to love God for.
Amen.
We have much to love God for. You love your neighbor? Is there somebody that lives on the road that you live on that has a need? Could I encourage you to extend some Christian courtesy to them and go to them and see what you can do to be a help and an encouragement to them? Could I encourage you to do that? You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You're telling me to do something outside the church? Well, I'm telling you that because this book teaches it. Let's take Christianity beyond the church, beyond the church building. We are the church. But let's be the church not only in the building, let's be the church outside the building. Let's remember that there's people who have needs all around us. I've been searching, preacher, I've been searching for somebody who has needs and I can't find them. Really? That'd be like a bank robber searching for a policeman that couldn't find him. There's hurting people all around you, and there's hurting people all around me. God help us to be sensitive to the needs of others. Now here was a sensitive man. I'm going to bring this to a close. Sensitive man. Young man. He had it all. I want you to read this sometime. This young man, have you ever heard someone say, or perhaps you've said it or thought it, you looked at a family or an individual and said, you know what? They've got it all. You know? And apparently, and I want to use that word, apparently, seemingly, they did. Seemingly, this young man did. But notice what Jesus told him. Look down in verse number 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. You know what happens to us? I'm going to close with this. You know what happens to us in life? It started to happen to me. It still tries to creep up in my life sometimes. We get on this quest. This young man was on a quest. What sent him on a quest? You know what a quest is? A journey, a search. He was on a quest. You know why? He had education. He had money. He had religion. I didn't say salvation. He had religion. He had morality. He was a moral young man. He had it all. But yet there was still something missing. So maybe he didn't have it all after all. Because what he thought was all left him still empty. He was still searching. And the thing that he was searching for was the most important. It should have been the first thing that was addressed. What am I going to do after this life? See, oftentimes we teach our children, we teach our young, we teach the next generation. We go for it after our own. We have ambition, and I'm for ambition. We have goals, I'm for goals. We have dreams, I'm for dreams. We want to achieve, and I think it's great. But we teach our young, go after what you want in this life. What are you going to do in this life? When we should begin to teach them, the very first thing they need to get concerned about is, what are you going to do about the life to come? Now, I'm not saying don't teach them responsibility about this life. But what about the life to come? Are you prepared? Do you have riches toward God? Do you? You say, preacher, I've got it all. I've got a good family, got good health. Material possessions, I'm blessed. But is there still an emptiness in your soul that all the things that you have encountered and accumulated in life have still left a void in your soul? You can't feel an emotional and physical need or a spiritual need. You can't feel a spiritual need with a material thing. You can't do it. Only Jesus can meet that need. Let's stand to our feet, would you? Here's a young man. The Bible says he walked away sorrowful. What a terrible way to leave a meeting with Jesus. Maybe Jesus met with you today. Maybe you had no intentions on kneeling before Jesus today and asking the question. Maybe a quest is what brought you to church today. And yet you never really intended on asking a question. How do I prepare for the next life? Just how do you get to heaven? But today you've been confronted face to face before Jesus Christ. As His word was preached, He came to you and He tapped on you and He said, "One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest." Don't you be like this young man now. Don't you turn and walk away without addressing what that need is. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to come. I'm going to ask if you're a Christian to come and pray. And maybe